Welcome back to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnayer.
And I'm Robert Bucciolato.
Robert, I know last week we had said we were going to move on to Women's History Month, which we are going to. It's now March of 2023. But let's kind of continue our Black History Month theme and marrying it with a little bit of a suffragette theme in talking about Frederick Douglass, the great emancipator, if you will, or the great champion of emancipation, who was also a suffragette. And I want to speak specifically about Douglass's trip to Florida in 1889 to Jacksonville and St. Augustine, specifically in this podcast, and discuss that. And that was obviously at the height of the suffragette movement, but also part of his tour after what had happened in terms of Southern Reconstruction being ended and Black codes beginning to be put in place in the South and Jim Crow laws beginning to be put in place by the Bourbon Democrats, 1889. In fact, Florida the next year would fall under Black codes. So want to discuss that. But I think first you want to go through a little bit of the history of Douglass himself.
Early in the last century, the poet Langston Hughes, himself a renowned African-American leader and without question the most accomplished poet of the fabled Harlem Renaissance, went to the grave of one of his heroes, a titan, an icon of African-American civil rights, Frederick Douglass. In one of his most famous poems, he talks about the power, the surge of identity, consciousness, and pride that he got just from standing 6 feet from the corpse of one of his heroes. In many ways, Frederick Douglass was one of the most celebrated, influential, and prominent members of the 19th century. And as we've described time and time again on this program, whenever a national figure came to the Sunshine State during this time period, it was big news. Such was the case when Douglass went to Jacksonville. Born into slavery, depending on your source, in 1816, 1817, or 1818, we don't really know because records of slaves weren't very good. Douglass rose in the pre-Civil War years to become a leading member of the abolitionist cause. And by the late 19th century, he was a tireless advocate for the African-American community and civil rights in general. He was also a personal friend of Abraham Lincoln, and he would play a vital role as the consciousness for the Republican Party and would make sure through his persuasion that the president wouldn't get cold feet when issuing his now historic and legendary Emancipation Proclamation in 1863. When Douglass traveled to Jacksonville and then later on St. Augustine, he traveled by a special railway car that was provided by the Jacksonville and St. Augustine Railroad Company. He would give reception after reception, often attended by, in estimates, 700, 800 to almost 1,000 members, according to the Florida Times Union newspaper. Many prominent local and statewide leaders would come, and there was usually representatives for the government's office, the House of Representatives, the state senate, and the governorship. He was an inspiring orator who would speak, even sometimes to hostile Southern crowds, about the plight of his fellow African Americans and the desire to promote and achieve equal civil rights for all races in a post-Reconstruction world. While Douglass would spend most of his life in Rochester, New York, there are two historic plaques honoring his travels to the Sunshine State. The state has also honored him by naming a park in St. Lucie County, the Frederick Douglass Memorial Park. Despite the often harsh and controversial legacy of Florida's bourbon Democrats and their practices to undermine the federal Reconstruction programs, it does bear repeating that the autobiographies of Douglass were actually quite popular throughout the South. And it went a long way to introduce to younger Southern generations the plight, the struggle, and ultimately the triumph of African Americans, a race like Douglass himself that were born into slavery, that were voiceless, but through hard work, determination, and the unbelievable, unparalleled tragedy of the Civil War were finally given, in some small measure, the start of equal opportunity.
Thank you for that, Robert. And as stated at the beginning of the podcast, in 1889, Frederick Douglass came here to Florida and he gave a speech in Jacksonville as part of his Southern tour. And again, this is a year before Jim Crow was really put in place big time in Florida, but black codes were already happening. The state was already becoming increasingly violent. And we talked a lot about the violence in Florida last month, the violence that really characterized the first half of the 20th century. Douglass's speech took place at the Subtropical Exposition at the city's waterworks. A gentleman, James Weldon Johnson, who attended the event, described Douglass's visit to Jacksonville as for the following, and this is a quote: "No one could ever forget the first sight of Frederick Douglass, a tall, straight, magnificent man with a lion-like head covered with a glistering white mane, who instantly called forth in one form or another Napoleon's exclamation of what he saw when he... Behold a man... As I watched and listened to him, agitator, editor, organizer, counselor, eloquent advocate, co-worker with the great abolitionists, friend and advisor of Lincoln, suffragist for a half a century, the unafraid champion of freedom and equality for his race, I was filled with the feeling of worshipful awe." That's what Frederick Douglass inspired whenever he spoke, whenever he was seen in places, whenever he was in a meeting. I mean, in fact, you have accounts of this before the Civil War. The absolute power, aura, presence he had in a room, even a room full of white people, in terms of his ability to convey his feelings and his messages in that room. And when he became a speaker on public speaking tours, that presence was even magnified further, as it was in this case in Jacksonville. So the next day, which was a Sunday, April 7th, 1889, Douglass traveled to St. Augustine from Jacksonville in a special railroad car provided by the Jacksonville and St. Augustine Railroad Company. He was given a reception in St. Augustine, attended by approximately 750 locals, according to the Times Union, Florida Times Union, which, of course, is the Jacksonville newspaper, including, this is according to the Times Union article, prominent people of both races. Douglass was introduced to the crowd by the mayor of St. Augustine, a white Democrat. Remember, Douglass is a Republican, William W. Dewhurst. So that's actually pretty significant as well. Dewhurst welcomed Douglass to Florida on behalf of the governor. who was, of course, at this point, Francis Fleming. Now, Fleming was a Democrat, a segregationist, and had been a Confederate soldier. So, again, this is pretty significant. And he had a plantation on the St. John's River in Jacksonville prior to the Civil War. And he was an important Governor Fleming. Maybe we'll do another podcast on him specifically. But Governor Fleming was at the Battle of Natural Bridge with the Confederate forces fighting the Union and keeping Tallahassee in Confederate hands. And by the way, when I grew up, I'm dating myself now, but this tells you how much attitudes have changed for the better, in my opinion. When I grew up, we were taught that Tallahassee was saved from conquest, and Tallahassee was saved from these northern aggressors and invaders taking our capital. And I, in fact, parroted that narrative through my youth. Obviously, later in life, I've come to realize that it's quite frankly the opposite. You know, Tallahassee should have been liberated by the Union forces and were stopped at the Battle of Natural Bridge. But something I was taught in my youth was that the capital was saved. And into my early 20s, I believed that had been a good thing. And when I was at the University of Florida in the 1990s, my attitude changed about that to where it is now. So but Fleming was at the Battle of Natural Bridge, and it's pretty significant that Fleming was willing to welcome Douglas to Florida. And in fact, Fleming was a guy that had advocated making the Florida flag look sort of like the later Georgia flag and the later Mississippi flag with clear Confederate elements in the flag, right? To make it a more Confederate thing. Although I think Florida's flag has its Confederate elements already, but that was something that Fleming was into. So very significant that he was willing to welcome Frederick Douglass to Florida. And so in St. Augustine, at what was the site of the Genovar Opera House, a place that burnt down in the Great Fire of St. Augustine in 1914, so it's not there anymore. It's on St. George Street, or was on St. George Street. Douglass gave a speech in St. Augustine where he spoke of the continuing struggle for African Americans to achieve civil rights in the post-emancipation era. And he talked about the struggle. At the close of his remarks, the audience rose to sing the national anthem, and it was quite a moment per the chronicles and the sources of the time and the Times Union article. Then Douglass left St. Augustine and went back to Jacksonville and eventually resumed his southern tour outside of the state of Florida. But Frederick Douglass, very significantly, 1889, as segregation is being imposed throughout the post-Reconstruction South, the one-party rule of the Democratic Party, the Bourbon Democratic Party, the segregationist, racist Democratic Party, is being imposed on Florida. He's able to come to St. Augustine and Jacksonville and give very significant remarks, which are received by African Americans and whites alike. Even if the whites didn't agree with what he said, they knew he was a man of a significant national stature, that they had to welcome him. They had to go through the formalities of acknowledging his presence in the state of Florida. So thank you for listening once again to the Florida History Podcast. Thank you to Robert for that bit a little earlier. We will be back with you next week.